Take your bulletin, insert your sermon outline out of your bulletin, and follow along. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. Luke chapter 2. Flip over to Luke chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Verses 1 through 7. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that census or accounting should be taken of the entire Roman world." This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. "And everyone went to his own hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary and was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." How many times have you heard that? A lot. Yeah, we've heard that a lot. You know, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. I love the brightness of it. I love the celebrations of Christmas. But there would be a few things I would change about Christmas. And so today, I have a question for you. Turn this on. I have a question for you. I think I have a question for you. There it is. What is it you like or don't like about Christmas holidays? What do you like and what do you not like about how we celebrate Christmas? Just share that with someone next to you for a moment. Ready? Go.
Thank you.
Okay, let's come together. Couple of answers. What are some things you like about Christmas?
Family.
Family gatherings.
Music.
Lots of music. What's that?
Movies.
Yes. Giving to others. What's that, Mabel?
A chance to worship God.
Yes, to focus on God. Great. What are some things you would change about how we celebrate Christmas? What's that? Oh, advertising Christmas way back in September. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What else?
I think it's too commercialized.
Too commercialized. Yeah. Lots of money to be made. Not disparaging that. I mean, everybody likes to make money. A little less fruitcake. From 1942. Yeah. What's that?
All the advertising.
Yeah, it's just. Oh, it sounds like Christmas is more for children. Okay. Yeah. Is what?
When it's over.
Oh, when Christmas. I don't like it when Christmas is over. Yeah. Yeah. That's not me. So, what I'd like you to do now is everybody. Oh, that's in here. Is that in here?
No.
Oh, can I? I got it. Oh, no. Okay. Christmas is full of surprises, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, everybody, let's get quiet for a moment. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and just listen to this phrase. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Amen? The word pining, as I looked it up in several places, means that people didn't have any sense of their significance to God, but somehow knew that they were longing for it. Ever been there? I want to be worth something to someone. And God sent Jesus to be that someone. Then Christ came and died for our sins, and then we realized that our significance to God. Let's consider three questions. Number one, have you disagreed with God about your worth to Him? Anybody? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we all have done that. Number two, for what reason might you resist believing what God says about your worth to Him? For what reason might you resist that? You might say, well, Jesus, you've seen all the things I've done in my history, and maybe yesterday. You might argue with him or disagree with him about your worth. Thirdly, if you celebrate Christmas as you normally do, might it distract you from hearing and knowing your true worth to God? Do we get caught up in all the things that advertising says will make us worth something? Do we get caught up in that? The new phones that are coming out. Be the envy of everyone on your block. Really? That's why you'd buy a phone? But these advertisers are not idiots. They research a lot, and they know what appeals to your mind and your heart. Apparently, being the envy of everybody on your block appeals to people who don't know the significance of their worth. And I need to have a phone to make me that way. The arrival of Jesus is a testament of God's perfect timing and demonstration of his own love, regard for us. In my opinion, our culture celebrates Christmas more as a cultural tradition than it does a spiritual connection. Amen? We love our Christmas traditions. They are meaningful to us. But does how we celebrate Christmas distract from us praising God for making salvation and from sin available to us? Because a special baby was born over 2,000 years ago. Here's a couple of examples. Number one, a majority of Americans celebrate Christmas with beautiful decorations, tasty goodies, beautiful Christmas trees, parties and gatherings, colorful lights, and a lot of food. None of these things are wrong or bad in and of themselves. I enjoy all of them too. But on January 1st, have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you said it yourself, "I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I've got bills to pay now." Or, "Boy, I'm glad Christmas is over." It's not hard to understand how many of our Christmas traditions are focused on cultural expectations of how to celebrate Christmas in this country, rather than on spiritually connecting with God our Father. Another example of our cultural traditions can distract us happens when we put great effort into creating a bright, happy atmosphere to the holidays. Again, nothing wrong with that. And we enjoy the sights and the smells and the sounds and the tastes of Christmas. I can taste it right now. What's your favorite Christmas candy? Turn to your neighbor and tell them right now. Go. Yeah. They come on sale after Christmas. Yes. So we do enjoy the sights, sounds, tastes, and smells of Christmas. It's a fun time. We anticipate it. But does the atmosphere we create help us reflect on the atmosphere into which Jesus is born? Let me say it again. Does the atmosphere we create in celebrating Christmas accurately reflect the atmosphere into which Jesus was born? Let's think about this for a moment. Matthew and Luke reveal the stress and the danger surrounding Jesus' birth and his first couple of years. Here's a few examples. Mary became pregnant, not by her promised husband Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit's miraculous power. Think of their emotional distress when Joseph found out she was pregnant. How in the world? What did Mary think? How was she going to explain this to Joseph? How could Mary and Joseph explain her pregnancy to their families and their neighborhood? Although they were betrothed, which in the Hebrew culture was a legal arrangement that was a binding as marriage itself. The actual marriage ceremony, however, and the consummation of that marriage had not yet happened. Joseph could only think of Mary having committed adultery, punishable by death. But he loved her too much to have her killed. Instead, he decided to divorce her secretly, in quiet, to try to preserve her integrity and her life indeed. Then God intervened, sending an angel to tell Joseph what was really going on. Another example, when Mary gave birth to her son and Joseph, she and Joseph were in Bethlehem, miles away from her mother and special women in her life that would have normally helped her with the birth. She was there by herself, her and Joseph. And I don't know, back in those days, if men knew much about helping women give birth. I don't think so. Yeah. Another example, when the wise men arrived to worship Jesus several weeks or several months later, they asked King Herod where to find the child who was born, the King of the Jews. Now to Herod, that was a threat. Because Herod was king, and no one else is going to be king while he is king. And Herod was very paranoid and suspicious of anyone who might try to take his place, and even had a few of his own sons assassinated because of this fear. So when he heard of the new king had arrived, he gave the order to kill every child boy in Bethlehem 2 years old or younger. Can you imagine the wailing, the grief, the anger at such senseless killing? Before Jesus could be killed, though, an angel warned Joseph to get his family out of town. And so Joseph took his family and escaped to Egypt, which many years before, Egypt was the place to escape from, as Israel came out of slavery there some 600 years before. Escaped to Egypt, where they lived as refugees. The refugees are big in the news today. Being a refugee is not something you or I want to do. And Jesus and his family were refugees for at least a couple of years before King Herod died, when an angel told him it was safe to move back home. How do the hardships and danger faced by Jesus at his birth and his early years help us know and believe in our worth to him? That's the question we're asking today. The atmosphere in which Jesus was born, how does that help us know our worth to him? Well, let's answer the question with a question. What would it mean to you if Jesus, from the safety of heaven, said, down the earth, I love you? What would that be like? How would we be celebrating Christmas today if it was that way? Thank you, Jesus! Did you hear me? Can you hear me now? God wants you to know that no threat, no trouble, no hardship would stop him from coming to where you are. Woo! That's worth celebrating. No threat, no trouble, no hardship would stop your Father from sending his only Son to be where you are. That's still true today. Jesus was born right in the middle of difficult economic and dangerous political times because he is a hands-on God. I said, he is a hands-on God. I said, he's a hands-on God. Woo! That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. He's a hands-on God. He's here with you. He is. But that isn't all. There's more. Jesus came so you wouldn't have to settle for just reading about his glory in a book, but that you could experience the living Son of God up close and personal. Also, he came because in your sin, you could do absolutely nothing to be restored to God. Absolutely nothing. Nothing of your effort is of restorative value. As much as you might want to, You can't fix your own sin. You can't fix the separation between you and God. Only Jesus could do that. And he came to be with you, God with skin on, knowing it would cost him his life to restore you to your Father and his Father in heaven. He came so that you would know with confidence that he's here with you. You know, I'm a firm believer that we can do anything when we know we're not alone in it. Do you know that? I'm not alone in this. Jesus is with me. My Father is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. The group of people that Larry Kopic likes to call the three guys. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This month, our messages will focus on the power of Jesus' arrival to settle your mind and your heart into the confidence of your worth to him. Do you know your worth to him? This Christmas, yes, let's enjoy the lights. Let's enjoy the sights and the sounds. Let's celebrate Christmas with friends and family, and let's enjoy the food. But during our celebrations, let's focus on the fact that Jesus' arrival in a dark and dangerous world is the deep expression of God's endless love for you. Endless love for you. So read this with me. Did I do that? Okay, here we go. Read this with me. Long lay my soul in sin and error pining, till Christ appeared, now my soul feels its worth. Let's read it again, emphasis on the word my. Long lay my soul in sin and error pining, till Christ appeared, now my soul feels its worth. Do you know it? Are you confident? You can be confident in your salvation without being arrogant. Don't worry that your confidence is bordering on arrogance. No, you didn't do anything to get it. Jesus did it all. Amen? So let's respond to God in your sermon outline as your response to God. Take time to read and rest in Matthew 1, 18 through chapter 2, verse 23. Read that three times this week. The Christmas story. Jesus has come. Also reflect on how Jesus coming to earth expresses your worth to him. Your worth to him. Do you know how valuable you are to him? The cross reveals that. But more than that, the cross, the burial, and the resurrection reveals how much he loves you. He's here for you. He's keeping you. And thirdly, read this loud, out loud once a day, what we just read up here. Read it every day. It's on your bulletin. Put it on your refrigerator, because I know you go there. I do, once a day. You don't believe that. Yeah. You are loved mightily. And as we celebrate Christmas, let's not let the culture determine its value. Let's let Jesus coming to earth determine the value of our celebration, that we value him as he values us. Amen? If you're here today and you want to make some sort of an expression of connecting with Jesus, I would ask that you would do this while we sing this next song. And then let me know about your decision back here at the Welcome Center as we close this service today. And you're welcome to classes downstairs and over at the Ark. We have classes for all ages. Come enjoy that time together. Let's stand together as we sing.